Brothers and sisters, my name's Bruce. If we haven't met, I'm Senior Minister here at St. John's. Great to be here with you this morning. We're preaching a series at the moment, God is Big, Tell. And the idea is that God is just amazing, God is splendid, and His splendor is there in Jesus Christ for us. And as we preach our way through the Gospel of John, what we're looking for is that motivation to tell the gospel, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, because God is so big, God is so good. How can we do anything other? The whole of the book of the Psalms really is a book of praise to God in His greatness, His wonder, His love, and it's evangelistic. It's really a proclamation of the wonder of God, and we see that even more clearly now in Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. So what I am going to do this morning is I'm going to tell you the gospel. And I'm going to tell it in such a way as I hope to make very clear the way of salvation. And afterwards I'll be inviting you to come to the front, to pray actually, and then to come to the front at the end of the service if you'd like to talk more about it. So would you please join me in prayer? Pray for the others who are here and who will hear the word preached this morning. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege that it is to call you Father. Thank you for Jesus, for His cross and resurrection, but above all that He is now seated on the throne of heaven, coming to judge the heavens and the earth, and that He has forgiven us as we have put our trust in Him. Father, please help us to understand this wonderful news. Father, to trust Jesus and to commit ourselves and give our lives to Him. And it's for your praise and glory that we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, if you take a journey, normally you know the origin and you know the destination. Is that not true? Michelle and I recently spent a couple of weeks in Adelaide. We boarded the plane. We spent a couple of days in Adelaide. and we boarded the plane at Mascot. We got out at the airport in Adelaide. There was a hotel. That was our destination, origin and destination. Imagine a journey, though, where you know the origin, you get on a plane at Mascot, but you've got no idea where the plane's going because nobody's told you. That's a bit scary, isn't it? Of course, that's exactly what happened on Malaysian Airways Flight 370. It was the 8th of March 2014. I don't doubt you'll recall it because it was extraordinary. The origin of the flight, Kuala Lumpur, destination. Well, they thought they knew the destination, but it was actually unknown. Apparently, the pilot diverted the aircraft and it crashed somewhere in the southern Indian Ocean. Terrible, terrible event. Now, I want you to think about your life as a journey. Origin, not usually difficult to work out, assuming that you know your parents and have a birth certificate. Destination, well, that's a different question. Do you know your destination? Have you any idea what your ETA actually is? If you don't know, how comfortable are you with that? Now, none of us get to choose our origin, but we do have a choice about our destination. And today, I want to talk to you about how your journey might change. Could there be a point of inflection, a change in direction? Is it time to set out for a new destination? We're going to think about our own journey in that way, but first of all, I want us to think about Jesus' journey. Because Jesus was actually very clear on both His origin and His destination. And it will help us on our journey if we understand that. So Jesus' origin. John, as in the writer of the Gospel of John, was a disciple of Jesus. He recorded Jesus' words in John and chapter 7, verse 28. It would be great if you could look that up with me. John chapter 7, verse 28. It's the passage which was just read to us a moment ago, if you kept that open. I'm going to paraphrase it slightly, but you'll recognize it nevertheless. Jesus said to the Jews, "You know me and you know where I have come from, or you think you do, but understand this, I have not come on my own accord. I have been sent by the one who is true, and him you do not know. But I know him because I've come from him, and he sent me." Now, I want to unpack that for a moment. The Jews in Jerusalem thought they knew where Jesus was from, namely, born of Joseph and Mary, and they thought that he came from Nazareth up in Galilee to the north. That is, of course, where Jesus grew up. It was not where he was born, nevertheless. Jesus adds an entirely new dimension into this discussion where he says he was sent into the world. In other words, no birth certificate is ever going to tell Jesus' real origin. Obvious question, Jesus, who sent you? And the answer he gives is in verse 28. Look at it with me. "I was sent by the one who is true. You don't know him, but I know him. I've come from him, and he sent me." Jesus, of course, is talking about God, his Father. God sent him. Now, if you've been reading along in the Gospel of John, this is not going to surprise you, because in John chapter 1 and verse 1, John introduces Jesus in this way: "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through him." Then in verse 14, John tells us, "The Word became flesh." In other words, the Word is Jesus, pre-incarnate. Before he was born in the world, he was God, and he was with God and created all things. So Jesus is very conscious of his origin, the eternal Word. And Jesus was saying to them, "You know I come from Nazareth, that is true, but you need to go deeper. If you asked, I would tell you I was sent to you from the one true and living God. But you don't ask because you do not know him. If you knew God, you'd recognize me because I've come from God." Now, you have to remember that the Jews absolutely prided themselves on being the people who knew the one true and living God. They had the revelation of God in the Old Testament scriptures. No other nation had that. They were God's people, the children of Abraham, the people of God's covenant given through Moses. Surely they, of all people, know God. "No," says Jesus, "you don't. You don't know God, because if you did know God, you'd recognize me." You see, the true test of any claim to know God is to recognize Jesus. Why? Because he is the true image and representation of God in this world. So if you don't recognize Jesus, you simply don't recognize God. It's as simple as that. That's true today as it was when Jesus stood in front of them. So we've thought about Jesus' origin. What about Jesus' destination? No surprise. Jesus is very clear about his destination as well. John 7, this time verse 33. "Look with me. I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me." In other words, it's a round trip. Jesus has come from God. He will return to God. He knows exactly where he's from. He knows where he's going. He knows his destination very clearly. The rest of the Gospel of John actually records exactly how that was going to be achieved. How was Jesus to return to the one who sent him? Spoiler alert, he has to be crucified, executed, put to death by hanging on a Roman cross. which doesn't sound much like a return journey to anywhere, does it? Until you remember that he was then raised from the dead on the third day after that execution. His physical body was made new, and this was witnessed by the disciples and many others, and then he ascended back to heaven, back to, as he says, the one who sent him. There's the round trip. No doubt about his destination. And he knew that his journey had to take him through death and then resurrection. Death and new life. And that is why back in chapter 7, Jesus told the Jews, I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. However, I want you to notice the rider here, because it's really important. Jesus added, you will seek me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. Now, why were they seeking Jesus? It wasn't to follow him. It was to arrest him and put him to death, to get him out of the way. They wanted to kill him. Chapter 7, verse 25, some of the people of Jerusalem said, isn't this the man that they're seeking to kill? And then in verse 32, the Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about Jesus, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. So when Jesus said, you will seek me, but you will not find me, where I am, you cannot come, he was saying, soon I am going to be right outside of your reach, and all your plans and plots will have failed. He was returning to God, his Father, who sent him, and they would not be able to prevent that. Indeed, they would actually bring it about. What does all that have then to do with your destination? All right, we've seen Jesus understood very clearly. He knew his origin. He'd been sent from God. He knew his destination. He was returning to God, his Father. What about us? What about you? Well, unlike Jesus, we did not come from God. None of us were sent. We were created by God. That's a different story. Yes, conceived and born of human parents, but that's how God chose to make the human race, isn't it? He created the first male and female, sent them off to procreate and multiply, and they did. And here we all are. So you and I have a very finite origin. The real question, however, what is your destination? Looked at through the lens of this world, it seems that we have a very finite journey and an unappealing destination. Namely, 80 years or thereabouts, and then to end up in an incinerator. Sorry to be blunt, but that's the physical reality. Beyond that, what is your destination? Do you know? Jesus says, without him, your destination is even less appealing. Physical death is only the beginning of a black eternity. How come? Well, come back with me for a moment to that terrible flight MH370. Let me illustrate. To the best of our knowledge, that flight was hijacked by the pilot. He took hold of the aircraft and all those on board, and so it became a flight to destruction. The Bible tells us that the devil has taken hold of humanity to turn us against God and separate us from him forever. It's a hijack. Right back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3. But the result is, therefore, that we are all on a flight to destruction. The whole of humanity. And it's just a matter of time before your flight goes down. That's horrible. Now let me ask you a much better question. Why did God send his son Jesus into the world? See, Jesus was very clear. He was sent from the true and living God. He was returning to the true and living God. But he had to do that through a terrible death and then resurrection. Why on earth, or perhaps more appropriately, why in heaven's name, would God send his son on that journey? Would you send your son on that journey? Well, the answer comes later in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 30, and I'd invite you just to turn that one up. It is such an important verse in the whole of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wrote it down so that you could believe in Jesus, believe these things that we've just been speaking about, that he came from God, that he was crucified, that he was raised from the dead, returned to God the Father, and therefore understand that he is now God's Christ, God's King, the judge of the living and the dead, who has authority either to condemn or to forgive. In other words, Jesus was sent by the Father so that you could join him on his journey and share his destination, that is life with God forever. Jesus is God's answer to the devil's plan to hijack the world. Jesus is your way off the flight to destruction. Jesus is your opportunity to change direction with a new destination guaranteed, locked in. Don't be deceived, you can't do it without Jesus. Your own efforts will never be good enough. John 7:34, Jesus said to the people that he was speaking to, the Jews, where I am, that is where Jesus was going, you cannot come. Why? Because they did not believe him. We must believe Jesus or else we cannot come to Jesus or his heavenly Father. Buddha will not get you there. Mohammed will not get you there. Your own efforts will leave you stranded, left on the flight to destruction. We trust Jesus or we shut ourselves out. There's only two possibilities here. And it was true then and it's true now. I used to wonder why believing was the essential criteria. I still remember when I was a teenager going to church and thinking, I just don't get that. Surely there's something that I have to do. What is it about believing in Jesus? I realize now that it's very simple. In the Gospel of John, believing actually means three things. It's a very broad term. First of all, it means just to believe the truth. Well, that's just an intellectual exercise, really. But then it means to trust the person. You see, you can't trust a person until you've believed them. So we are asked to trust Jesus. And then, thirdly, to commit ourselves to him based on that trust. All of that is wrapped up in the idea of believing Jesus. It's not simply an intellectual exercise. It's the necessary foundation for any relationship. Any relationship is built on trust, and that's what's here for us. God will not relate with anyone except that they trust Jesus. There is no other name for salvation. However, with a relationship built on belief and trust, Jesus forgives us and brings us on that journey to God our Father forever. We can share his life, share his destination, and share his confidence. Great confidence as to what your destination will be. So, you have a choice. The people on MH370 did not have a choice, but you have a choice. Of course, you could just close your mind and pretend that your aircraft won't finally crash and burn. That's how most people live, actually. Sadly. Or else Jesus is offering you an opportunity to change your destination. So finally, I want to ask you this. How can you express trust in Jesus? Because that's got to be the next step, hasn't it? If I trust Jesus, I have to express that somehow. Well, very simply, you have to say it. You have to say it in prayer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a prayer that you can pray with me. Actually, anyone who's a believer could pray this prayer, but it may be that this is your first time to pray a prayer like this. And if that is you, then what's happening is you've reached a turning point in your journey. The Bible actually calls it repentance. It's the turning point. It becomes the point at which you changed direction and headed with Jesus back to God, your Heavenly Father. So I'm going to ask the people in production up there just to, I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read it so that you can look at it first. And then we're going to come back to the beginning of the prayer and I'll lead you in saying the prayer together. So it says this, Father in heaven, thank you that you sent Jesus from heaven to save us. Thank you that by his life and miracles and teaching, he truly revealed you to the world, that he rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven. Thank you for your promise for all who give their lives to Jesus, that we can be certain of our eternal destination, life with you. I know that I have rejected you and tried to live my life for myself. Please forgive me. Help me to trust in Jesus and to live for him. Please accept my prayer, forgive me, and give me this life through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just a simple prayer to acknowledge the truth of the gospel and then to put our trust in Jesus. I invite you to pray it with me. Pray it out loud or pray it in your head. If it is your first time to pray like this, I would love you to come and talk to me afterwards. Please, will you do that? You might find it a little embarrassing. That's all right. Just put the embarrassment aside. I'll be down here quietly, hiding behind the stage. Let's say this. Father in heaven, thank you that you sent Jesus from heaven to save us. Thank you that by his life, miracles, and teaching, he truly revealed you to the world, that he rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven. And thank you for your promise for all who give their lives to Jesus, that we can be certain of our eternal destination, which is life with you. I know I have rejected you and tried to live my life for myself. Please forgive me. Help me to trust in Jesus and live for him. Please accept my prayer. Forgive me and give me this life. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.